When parents obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is a great, great joy. There are people who come to the Lord in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ. As the New Testament of the Bible tells us, that is the order in which salvation does occur. We hear the gospel, we believe in it. We turn from our sins because we have heard that gospel message. We confess our faith in the Lord Himself, that He is, in fact, the Son of God, and that He came to offer salvation for us. And then we go to be immersed into the death of Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. As Jesus was raised up from the dead, Paul wrote in Romans 6, that is the way in which we find ourselves raised to walk in a new way of life as well. We begin to live for Him from day to day, and we then have a marriage, children that come. What do we do with those children in our lives? Well, aren't we not people who carry a goodwill for them? We love them to death. We want them to be in heaven itself in the future. And as a result of that, we want them to be people who are really faithful to God. And so what do? We show them a great example. Paul urged Timothy to be an example to the believer in word, in spirit, in conversation, in ways of life, in spirit, faith, and in purity. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and at verse 12, Paul says, be an example of the believer. As we are examples as parents to them, we find ourselves rewarded greatly because they become what they see in our lives. If they see people who are highly anxious about life, highly anxious about life, highly anxious about life. It's not really what we want. We want them to be contented in life. We want them to be at peace in life. We want them to live that way. Now then, how do they begin to do that? By seeing an example of it is the better way to do. Those who study reading habits and reading tell us that in all the studies have been done, they come out with this final to be the decision of it. When children see people reading around them, they tend to become readers. When they do not see that happening in their home and family, then it's a job to get them to read and to sense the reading habit. When they see the example, they used to think that it was reading to the children. We read those bedtime stories, we continue to read those fairy tales and one thing and another along the way, and they become readers thereby. They no longer think that that's the way. They think the fact that the parent is sitting in a chair at a table and reading himself, herself, reading in the presence of a child, makes the difference with their attitude that they develop through the years of becoming readers themselves. That being the case, it does hold us to the example and how that example becomes so critical in the decision making for a child. When we find ourselves in our final ways of life, of being an example of the believer, we find ourselves particularly with our children, helping them to realize what is the right things of God. When we find ourselves doing this, we want to be people who choose to encourage them to be living for the Lord from day to day. In living for the Lord today, there's a love that they should have for their parents, a love that they should have for father and for mother. And a love that they have for father and mother will be illustrated in the future walk of their lives, in the love that they have for someone with whom they fall into love and want to spend the rest of their days with. Not just a few days or a few hours or a few minutes of time, as would be the lustful occasions of life, but a commitment of lifestyle and life example throughout the years to come. Miss Jane and I will be celebrating this year, Lord willing, our 50th wedding anniversary. And our children called us up back a few months ago and said, listen, reserve the middle of the month of March. We want to take y'all along the way with us on a trip. I don't know if I'd be able to do that sort of thing. I mean, I'm old enough, 50 years of marriage. But anyway, I think I'm going to go with them because when she leaves, she has to take her children with her. And when I leave, I had to take my children with her, me. And so we never left each other that way. Think about the example that you bestow, about the years that come and go, and think about the way that the person looks. Now, I don't know and I don't see it exactly, but I see more and more of it. He will look like his dad in later years, and she may very much look like her mother in years to come. Well, think about it from the standpoint of what they become. They're not going to stay the same. No, they're not going to stay the same. And here's a revelation for some in the audience today, maybe. You're not going to stay the same either. You're not going to stay the same as, you may stay the same height. You may stay the same in general demeanor. But you're not going to stay the same from the bones that ache and the pains that come and go and the needs for medication to help you to be comfortable. You're going to not change either. You're going to change in that ways of life. Think about that. Think about the way that changes will take place and then going into abuse in those changes. I will abuse the medicines that I take for my good health. I will abuse my life and add the excessive to my life. I will abuse myself as to not paying attention when I drive an automobile and care. I'll get others in that vehicle and I'll wing down the road just like I want to. Wait just a minute. There are others' lives that are depending upon your decision making as you drive that automobile. If mom and dad show an example of that and show concern about that and be sure that they're as truthful as they can be in their daily walk of life, will they have someone that goes to the banker someday and decides to take advantage of the banker and take advantage of the monies that are there? Or will they have someone that's honest and honorable and helpful to their lives? They get this built. They get this paid for. They get this automobile. They get it paid for. They have things to do in life that way. And the example of mothers and fathers show them a way to live. Without that, it's a sad thing. God in the Bible, in the Old Testament of the Bible, dealt with this situation back in Exodus 34 and in Deuteronomy chapter 7. He told the Israelites not to intermarry with those that were the idolatrous people round about them. God wanted these people to remain pure and true and strong. And he told them that such intermarriages with those who were people who were worshiping idols and not the true God would lead ultimately their hearts away from God. Perhaps the greatest example of that is Solomon himself, who at the beginning sought only wisdom that he might guide the people of God wisely. And the Lord said, because you didn't ask for money, because you didn't ask for power and fame, you asked to guide your people wisely, I will give you all of this. And he did. This man was blessed with life and blessed with opportunities to live. But in the choice of life, what did he do? He chose to be a person who intermarried with those outside. When he got older, the scripture affirms to us, when he got older, his heart was turned to those things. Think about the strongest man of the Old Testament of the Bible, Samson, and how that he begged and pleaded that he might go into this far country and that he got his way, and therein his strength eventually was taken away. Only in the last of his life he besought God in prayer, and God rewarded him with the strength that he needed to do what he did with the pillars of that great temple. Think about our example in this regard. It may very well be that once becoming Christians, as mom and dad, we might know to our children that that decision was the greatest of the decisions. The decision to marry was a wonderful decision, a most loving thing and a grateful thing. But our knowing of the gospel of Christ and coming to obey the gospel had an overwhelming change in our lives. It was one that brought us an opportunity to know how to live with God eternally and how to be that we might not have known had we been a divided family. When we find ourselves doing God's will in God's way, the most loving thing for us is to have someone in the family who be saved from sin. Believing errors and believing falsehoods and believing things that are not read in the Scripture will not help them at all. You know, I could get into ideas, and we'll begin to show some things on the sign outside there of a positive way of why we believe. Why we believe that such things as faith is not faith only. That baptism does save us. That our need to obey God in repenting of sin is necessary. And the verse that accompanies that idea. When you're into a church situation and a worship situation where it's entertainment based and where it is individually based, and the individual comes into that service and is taught that in order for your salvation to occur, you need to come to the Lord, you need to say these words of prayer, where in the Scripture do we see people being asked to say these words and pray? Greatest example of that found in Paul's life. In Acts chapter 9, he is told to go into the city, and there he'd be told what he must do. He was there in prayer and praying to the Lord, and Ananias came to him. The story completes in Acts chapter 22. And we see what happened was he went there to teach him the gospel. Why do you continue to tarry? Arise and go be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He still had his sins with him. Pray through? No, that was not what he did. He was told what he should do, and he responded to it. That's the kind of faith that he's responding to there in Romans 6 when he says, shall we all continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin continue to live any longer therein? Good parents and good helps will help our lives, and to have someone go into heaven with us, saved from sin with us, being a person who helps children to know what salvation is all about, is a wonderful way of life. And as I mentioned to you, Sean keeps records of people, and he gets calls back from people at Sardis Lake Christian Camp. Change is underway. When next time you drive out there, you may drive by it. Don't do that. You'll get to an end of the road, and even the 4-H Club camp is no more there. It's got fences up and everything. You can't get through there. But you can't get there. You may pass by it because it's changed color. The cabins have changed their color. Some of them have been moved. There are others that have purchased those old cabins, and we have moved them into some hunting club someplace, and they'll soon be moved. But the cabins that do remain are being winterized. They're being sealed so that in the hot, hot summertime, the coolness of the night will not let them get up in the morning. It'll not let them wake up in the morning at all. I'm concerned about that. I think we're going to have a switch over there that we punch and has those air conditioning units to be cut off, and it warms up a little bit more in the morning time so they can wake up better to get on up. You know they're not going to be able to get up if they've got that coolness there. But it's a wonderful thing. People thought when you winterize, when you have air conditioners in your dining hall, you're going to have children to stay all day long in the dining hall. They do not do that. We can prove that. They do not do that. They go with friends. They play the games. They do the things. And then when they want to cool off during a meal, guess where they are? They stay in the dining hall. Only those that have a clandestine idea are those who remove themselves from the dining hall during the mealtime. They got other plans in mind. What a wonderful thing it is to have that go on. And then he finds out that those that obey the gospel, last year there were over 40 that obeyed the gospel, the year before that there were another. You add on to that about a 10-year time. And if you get 30 to 40 a year, in 10 years' time you've got several hundred. And if they'll do what we urged them to do yesterday, last year, and be people who live in harmony with one another and live in harmony with their community and live in harmony with their neighborhood and with the family, then they'll have the strength to invite the family and invite the friends to all of these services, including today's with us, our worship service, our singing time tonight, and our potluck tonight too. What a good thing it will be, because instead of teaching people the ideas that we want to teach them and the thoughts that we want to give to them, instead of doing that, we want to teach people to open the Bible and to see what the Lord has said in His Word about how to obey Him. The song of invitation provided today to remind you all of this idea. Obey the Lord in believing in Him, John 8:24. Repent of sin, Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Christ, Matthew 10:32. And be baptized for the remission of your sins in Mark 16:16. As you live out the Christian life then, you want to live out that life in forgiving others, according to Matthew 18, and putting first the kingdom of God in worship and activities thereof in Matthew 6:33. And being a person who looks at others and helps others in life in serving them in just a royal and faithful way, as in Ephesians 4:32, he tells us we should do. When our children go with us to do those things, when our children are taught about those things, when our children ask us in prayer about those things, when we pray about those ways of life, we'll make a difference with their faithfulness to God and their being with us when we leave this earth to go to life's other side. Oh, we are all responsible for ourselves. The child shall not bear the iniquity of the father. The father shall not bear the iniquity of the son. The soul that sinneth it shall die, Ezekiel said in the long ago. No, it won't be the same relationship. In heaven, we are as the angels. When Jesus said they're neither married nor are given in marriage, they're as the angels. And we're not in that kind of relationship over on life's other side. But for our comfort here and our thoughts here below, would we want to live in such a way as mothers and fathers that our children are over there with the Lord, who is always able to help them more than we were able to help them ourselves, because He cares for them? What a blessing it could be if we have this to happen in each of our families. Think about this. This song says, "Come to Jesus." Would you come as we stand as we sing together?
Will you come with your poor broken heart? Lay it down at the feet of your Son.